On August 20th, 1972, Stax Records brought its artists to Los Angeles for a landmark concert. The performance supported the rebuilding of the Watts community in the wake of uprisings sparked by police brutality and longstanding racial injustice.
Hey boy, we're drifting apart. We keep breaking each other's hearts.
That was singer Carla Thomas, just one of dozens who performed that day. To commemorate the event, a 1973 documentary has been re-released in theaters, along with a box set. As Allison McKay reports, Wattstax was about more than just music.
To understand Wattstax, you have to rewind to August 1965. Carla Thomas was performing at a Stax Review show at the legendary 5-4 Ballroom in Watts, Los Angeles. After the show, she met a teenage fan, Jackie Jacquette, who invited Thomas to dinner. The next day, Thomas says they took in the sights.
We went to this little shopping center, and there was a little office there where kids were being taught passive resistance, the same type of training that the Freedom Riders had to take.
Jacquette explained why.
What she told me when we got ready to leave was, they're killing young black guys.
They were the police. Days later, the arrest of 21-year-old Marquette Frye brought the community to a breaking point, sparking 6 days of uprisings, leaving dozens dead, thousands injured, and millions of dollars in property damage. News coverage reinforced a distorted image of Watts and, by extension, Black America.
Nearly 3,000 were arrested, and authorities had to open abandoned jails to house those netted by the police. It took the appearance of 14,000 troops to bring an end to what both Negro and white leaders called insurrection by hoodlums.
The Watts Summer Festival, launched on the first anniversary of the uprisings, helped to rebuild the community. In its seventh year, music writer Rob Bowman says Stax Records took it to a new level.
Stax, as the seat of Southern soul music, sold tons of product in the South, the Midwest, you know, up through Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit. They did not do nearly as well on the West Coast.
To expand its reach, Stax had established a satellite office in L.A. But Bowman says label co-owner Al Bell had a greater ambition.
He was also aware this company was dealing with black expressive culture and that it should have, and it did have, a responsibility to the community.
The label booked the L.A. Memorial Coliseum and enlisted dozens of its artists for a benefit concert to close the 1972 Watts Summer Festival. The show was advertised on door hangers, billboards, and even airplane banners. Al Bell says he wanted the community to know that Wattstax was about more than entertainment.
It was a celebration of the African-American experience and a testament to the transformative power of music.
The Black Gathering was second in size only to Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1963 March on Washington.
I am somebody.
Built as the living word, a soulful expression of the black experience, the Reverend Jesse Jackson's litany set the tone.
I may be on welfare, but I am somebody.
Then Kim Weston performed Lift Every Voice and Sing, also known as the Black National Anthem.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with a
What followed was 7 hours of gospel, rhythm and blues, funk and soul, featuring artists such as the Staple Singers, Isaac Hayes, the Barkays, Carla Thomas, and Rufus Thomas, who invited the audience to get on up.
You put your left arm up, and your right arm too. I'm gonna tell you what you gotta do. Drop your wings, feet start kicking.
Bell says pricing the tickets at only $1 apiece meant everyone could experience the power of music to inspire, heal, and bring people together.
It was like a family reunion. I mean, it was like a church service. The same kind of feelings and interactions took place there that take place in your church services on Sunday or Wednesday night.
The event raised over $70,000 to support causes including the Watts Summer Festival, sickle cell disease research, and the Watts Labor Community Action Committee. A double album of concert highlights sold more than 500,000 copies within weeks of its release. But Bell says he wanted to take the message further, including to white audiences.
Many of them in this country, if they saw two of us together, they would be afraid of us because of how we were viewed. And that same attitude was put into our heads. You got to be careful because you're going to intimidate them and create a problem.
So Bell had Wattstax filmed for a documentary.
We wanted us to see ourselves and the way we are to ourselves. And we wanted white America to see us as we truly are.
Collaborating with producers David Wolper and Larry Shaw and director Mel Stewart, Bell recruited a mostly black camera crew at a time when opportunities in Hollywood were limited to none. Instead of interviewing pundits, they returned to Watts and filmed the emotions singing in a church.
Wake up, Jesus!
Young Richard Pryor providing an edgy social commentary.
California is a weird state because they have laws for pedestrians. You know, like you cross the street, they have laws for pedestrians, but they don't have laws for people at night when cops accidentally shoot people.
And the filmmakers captured the viewpoints of folks in barbershops, on street corners, and in diners.
I can go anywhere in the United States of America and see another black man and give him a power shake, and there's unity there. Yeah. There's a beauty there that I can communicate with this brother.
Interspersed with the concert footage, these vignettes illustrated struggle, resilience, and joy. The 1973 Wattstax documentary was nominated for a Golden Globe. In 2020, it was added to the National Film Registry. Although the fight for racial equality is ongoing, says Bell, so is the hope for a better future that Wattstax envisioned a half century ago.
And that 112,000 people in the stands, all of the artists that were there and the musicians, the workers at the Coliseum, and everybody that we interacted with in putting that event together and putting it on, there was one spirit and attitude that prevailed.
I know what it means. Boy, ain't nobody crying. No.
It was the spirit of love.
PR News, I'm Allison McCabe.
Help me, come on.